Even though I couldn't see her eyes, I knew she rolled them. I think he wants to go someplace up north. He thinks he's going to get into an Ivy League school. I know this sounds mean, but he's not that smart. I'd met Todd once, and while I wasn't sure about his intellectual status, I thought he was a pretty okay guy. I also thought he probably thought I was on the lower end of the cool scale. She muttered, stretching out her legs. He wants me to go to the movies tomorrow with his friends. Yikes, I'd heard enough of Ainsley's rants to know that wasn't good. And I cannot come up with a good excuse to back out, because he knows I'll take any chance to get out of the house. She paused, looking at me. Can we pretend you have chicken pox and I need to take care of you? I laughed. Ainsley sighed. Guess not. I hate his friends. They all think they're better and smarter than me because I'm homeschooled. They constantly make these comments suggesting how hard it must be for me to socialize with normal people. You know what? I raised my brows. It's hard for me to socialize with them because I'm pretty sure most of them sincerely believe that the First Amendment actually means they can say anything they want without consequences. Like, no, that does not protect your butt when you say something ignorant on Facebook and end up getting kicked off the football team or whatever. My lips twitched. She threw up her hands and I hid a smile. That's not how that works, you know? It is not a free pass. Did you know one of his friends last week actually argued with me about that? He was all like, let me wannabe mansplain this to you, while incorrectly explaining the First Amendment. He was trying to tell me that it meant he could say whatever he wanted to say, because it was his opinion and it was protected. Free speech, he yelled. Maybe from the government, but not from anything else when it comes down to it. I was like, is he for real? At least I wasn't thinking about sex anymore. Besides the fact that not all speech is protected in the first place, I'm pretty sure our founding fathers stated it pretty damn clearly. She drew in a sharp breath. Oh my God, I'm like that insurance commercial. I want to scream. This is not how this works. This is not how any of this works. Look, shout your opinions from the rooftops, but please, dear Lord, stop thinking the First Amendment is going to protect you from losing your job, or from getting kicked out of a frat house, or from other people having a difference in opinion. Ainsley was entertaining a future in law. And yeah, I can speak three languages fluently, she continued. But they want to treat me like I'm some kind of simpleton, just because I'm homeschooled. Her shoulders slumped. I hate saying this, but I don't like them. I'm sorry, I said. She shook her head and long strands of hair flew in the wind. It's whatever, I'll deal. Ainsley would. She always did. After a few moments, she said, Oh, man, I have such a headache. Lifting her hand, she rubbed her brow above her left eye. I don't know if it's stress over tomorrow or sinuses or my eyeballs or what. My brows furrowed. Your eyes have been bothering you a lot lately. Have they? Her lips pursed. I guess so. I just have crap eyesight. You know that. Did I ever? Ainsley probably should wear her glasses more often, since I had no idea how she saw anything without them. I tried them on once, and it was like seeing the world through funhouse mirrors. Once I had asked her why she didn't wear them, but she swore that she could see, as she put it, what she needed to see. Throwing an arm around my shoulders, Ainsley snuggled close, resting her head on my shoulder. Don't hate me, 'cause I'm about to bring the conversation back to Ryder. But it's for purely selfish reasons. I hope you guys end up hanging out a lot, and then we can double date. Not that it'd be a date, but close enough. Do you know why I want to double date with you? My lips kicked up at the corners. Because you're awesome, she said, giggling. And I could use some extra awesome when it comes to Todd. Something occurred to me. Do you really like Todd? Ainsley sighed. Good question. I don't know. I guess I like him for now, but not for forever. I could have told Ainsley that for now was pretty darn good, that none of us knew what the future held, that forever could be yanked out of reach. Instead, I smiled and tried not to picture all the dates she was planning for Ryder and me. Dates that were never going to happen. I was going to give, for now, a try myself. Chapter 12. I white-knuckled the drive to school Monday morning, my stomach twisting and churning the entire time. A huge part of me didn't even want to show up, because what was the point? The deal Carl had made with Mr. Santos meant I wasn't really pushing myself. But I had to go to class, even if I would only be giving my speeches in front of one person, I had to show my face. If I didn't, I would be that same girl who could barely look at herself in the mirror, let alone hold a conversation with anyone. I thought of Ainsley, of how hard it still was to talk in person to even my closest friend. I loathed that I took shyness to a whole new crippling level. Shyness wasn't even the right word, according to Dr. Taft, but it was still what people had always labeled me. Mallory was just shy. Mallory needed to come out of her shell. If I really was in a shell, it was titanium-laced and wrecking ball-proof. When I turned the corner leading to my locker, my steps stumbled as I saw Paige leaning against it. Oh, no. I had a feeling that her waiting for me wasn't the same thing as Jaden waiting for me. Instinct flared to life, demanding that I turn around and go to class. I didn't have my morning books, but I could stop by afterward, maybe, and grab them. Or maybe this wasn't going to end badly. I wanted it not to. I wanted things to be okay between Paige and me. She was important to Ryder. Paige turned her head, spying me. Too late to run. Or not. I could still run. Her red lips curved into a smirk. Hey, mouse. Ryder's nickname dripped with derision as she pushed off the locker, remaining a few feet in front of it. I'm kind of surprised you're here after your little incident in class on Friday. My steps slowed like I was walking through cement. My initial suspicion was correct. This was not going to end well. She folded her arms as she eyed me, oblivious to the students stopping around us, watching. Maybe she wasn't oblivious. Maybe she knew she was drawing the attention of others. My mouth dried. I'm not going to even ask why you freaked out, she said, raising a honey-colored eyebrow. I know why. Poor little mouse doesn't like to talk. Someone, a girl, laughed. There was a chuckle from a guy. My stomach kept dropping. I could feel my throat closing up. Run, that tiny voice in the back of my head screamed. Run away. My jaw clamped down with such force, a sharp bite of pain lanced across my cheek. Heart pounding like a steel drum, I started to walk around her. Maybe she'd let me get to my locker. If she just wanted to say crap to me, whatever. I'd been on the receiving end of worse. I edged past her and started toward my locker from behind. She couldn't say anything I hadn't heard before. I know what you're up to, she said, turning to follow me. You're after Ryder. And that's pathetic, really pathetic. I flinched as I reached for my locker. I was not after Ryder. Not the way she meant. If she would just leave me alone, she would eventually see that. Couldn't she just go away? Was that seriously too much to ask? Paige wasn't going anywhere. Her cool fingers wrapped around my forearm, her grip firm, but not painful. My chin jerked up, and our eyes met. She lowered her head. The last thing Ryder needs right now is your shit. What? You think I don't know about you and him? You think I don't know that to Ryder you're still the poor little mouse he needs to protect? My fingers curled around empty air as the muscles along my back tensed. The cruel twist of her lips faded, and then she was no longer staring at me like I was barely worth the air she was breathing. Her gaze was steady and serious. He spoke about you, about this girl who never talked and how bad he felt for her. He talked about you a lot. She exhaled roughly. He talked about you more than he did about himself in the beginning, when he came to stay with Hector. He told me what happened. My stomach hollowed as I stared at her, Distaste dripped from her tone. My chest grew tight. I told Ainsley a lot about my past, but Ainsley would never use that knowledge against me. But this girl could. She could tell everyone. How could Ryder tell her these things about me? A ripe sense of betrayal rose, clogging already scattered thoughts. I didn't know this girl, and she knew things about me that had taken me months to share with Ainsley. I'm not trying to be a bitch, she said, and I thought she was doing a good imitation for someone who wasn't trying. But Ryder has been living with a guilt trip since I've known him, and it wasn't until this past year that he seems to have moved on. And now you're back. That kind of crap is the last thing he needs right now. Guilt trip? I blinked slowly as the empty sensation spread across my chest. Numbness followed as what Paige was saying began to really sink in. Ryder had shared heavy stuff with her. Unspeakable things about both of us. And he felt guilty. He felt bad for what had happened to me. His pity cloaked me in a stickiness that couldn't be washed off. Her eyes narrowed, and then she shook her head, letting go of my arm. In that moment, I realized we had an audience. I didn't think they could hear us, but they were definitely watching. In a rare moment, I was too startled to feel humiliation. God, you're so stupid, Paige bit out. You're looking at me like you have no idea what I'm talking about. Why else do you... The words erupted from me, bursting through the seal that had plugged the top of my throat. I'm not stupid. Paige's jaw gaped. A moment passed, and the sound of the students around us faded away. Did you just speak to me? A voice intruded. Don't be a cabrona. I know it's hard, and it's like all you have in this world, but Jesus, knock it off. My gaze darted to where Jaden stood. I dragged in a deep breath, welcoming the earthy scent that seemed to always cling to the younger boy. Paige's cheeks flushed pink as she turned to Jaden. What did you just call me? He tilted his head, eyeing her. You know what I said, and you know it's true unless you're the stupider one. Her eyes narrowed, but Jaden edged her out of the way, allowing me to gain full access to my locker. Without looking at the small crowd that had gathered around us, I tugged open the door and quickly switched out my books, barely aware of what I was doing. My head was thousands of hours in the past, and when I turned around, Paige was gone, and Jaden was standing with his signature sleepy smile on his face. Walk you to class, Muñeca. I'd heard Muñeca used before. Carl called Rosa that every once in a while, and she smiled when she heard it. Hands shaking, I nodded as I hefted the strap of my bag. My locker is actually down the hall, he added. I have a reason to be in this hallway. Paige doesn't. The twisting motion in my stomach increased since that meant Paige was seeking me out. Jaden fell in step next to me, and I kept my chin down, eyes on the floor as we navigated the congested hall. I wondered if this would mean he'd be late to homeroom, but doubted he cared. Can I ask you something? I nodded again. He scrubbed a hand over the close-cropped curls. Why don't you talk? I mean, you can, I've heard you. So why not talk like, you know, all the time? Don't make a sound. Those four words echoed in my thoughts as I struggled now to get my tongue to work. Would conditioning make sense if I gave Jaden that explanation? Or would he think I was weird? Probably weird. Dr. Taff had explained to Rosa and Carl that my lack of speaking came from PTSD and that I had been conditioned to be as quiet as possible. I'd done research on the whole conditioning thing and learned all about Pavlov's dog. At least I didn't drool when a bell was rung. I'd just been trained through negative reinforcement to not make a sound, to not be seen or heard. You know, it's all right. No worries, like I said the other day, I'll do the talking. It's kind of like my thing. You know what they say about me, Muñeca? That I can sell ice to an Eskimo. I'm just that cool and charming. With his grin, I couldn't tell if he was being serious or not. I think that's what I'll do once I get out of this damn place. Go into sales, I'd rock that shit. He paused,
Unlike Paige. If she was trying to sell something, she'd just piss that person off.
I drew in a shaky breath. How can Ryder like her?
He stopped and looked up at me. Paige?
I'm sorry, I immediately said, thinking of how Ryder explained that Paige had known Hector and Jaden since they were young. She's your friend, and...
Yeah, she's my friend, but she ain't acting right with you, so you don't need to apologize. She's not like that with Ryder, and I doubt she'd act that way when he's around. She wouldn't pull any crap with him.
Jaden pulled out a phone from his pocket, a shiny, new, and large cell phone. He hit the screen, quickly scanning a text message. His brows knitted.
Anyway, just ignore Paige. You probably already...
Jaden trailed off, and when I looked up, we were near my homeroom class, but that wasn't what he was staring at. Up ahead, a really big dude was coming down the hall. Had to be a senior. A senior that might have repeated the final grade a year or three. He was staring at Jaden in the way that other guy was eyeballing him the first time I'd seen Jaden.
Mierda,
Jaden muttered, and then started backing up. He glanced at me.
Check you later, muñeca.
There was no chance to respond. He wheeled around and started power walking down the hall, hitching up the back of his pants with one hand.
Yo, Jaden,
the other boy shouted, picking up his pace.
Where you going, bro?
Glancing back, I saw Jaden round the corner, and when I looked up, his older brother appeared out of freaking nowhere, coming up behind the guy. Hector's jaw was clenched as he clapped a hand down on the guy's shoulder.
What's going on, Brayden?
Hector demanded. Brayden wheeled around, shrugging Hector's hand off his shoulder. Anger colored his tone.
You know exactly what is going on. Jerome is pissed because of your stupid brother, and that shit rolls down. It ain't gonna roll on me. He needs to get right.
I ducked into my class just as my homeroom teacher ambled out into the hall, calling both of the boys' names. I worried my lower lip as I hurried to the open seat in the back. Nearly every time I saw Jaden, trouble hovered. That couldn't be good. Then it hit me with the power of a speeding truck as I took my seat and the tardy bell rang, and thoughts of Jaden floated away. I realized I'd done something I'd never, ever done before. I stood up to Paige. It had only been three words. But I'd done it. I'd stood up for myself. Chapter 13. My sense of accomplishment was strong, a bright spot in the day that glowed throughout lunch and into my afternoon classes. I sat with Kiera again. I also didn't talk, but no one seemed to be bothered by the lack of communication on my part. Standing up to Paige was huge, like climbing Mount Everest and not dying level of huge. It had been Jaden who'd intervened twice now, but this time, it had been me. Might not have been much, but it had been all me. Only when I was heading out to my next-to-last class did my stomach start doing somersaults again. Speech was next. The morning and my small victory felt like forever ago. Not only was I going to have to show my face again, but I was also going to have to see Paige once more. Gathering up my textbook, I shoved it into my bag and stood. If I'd thought walking this morning had been like pushing through wet cement, this was like trudging through quicksand laced with cement. But as I looked across the hall, my heart skipped in my chest. Wrong reaction, so wrong. But there was no stopping it. Ryder was waiting outside the classroom, leaning against the lockers across from the class, hands shoved in the pockets of the worn jeans with frayed edges. There was an odd hitch in my throat, and my stomach cartwheeled for a whole different reason than it had before. Warmth zinged through my veins as he lifted his lashes and those soft gold-brown eyes collided with mine. Ryder looked... Goodness, he looked good. Good in the way I didn't know a teenage boy could look, like they did on TV when played by 25-year-olds. His brownish-black hair was messy, as if he'd woken up, washed it, and then let it dry whichever way it fell. Bright yellow light glanced off his high cheekbones. The full lips were slightly tipped up in one corner, the dimple in his right cheek absent. Stretched across his broad shoulders, the emblem on his blue shirt was so faded, I couldn't make out what it was. As he straightened, he lifted a hand and brushed the hair off his forehead. The new cut above his brow was faded, barely noticeable. That made me happy. I walked up to him, trying to keep a goofy smile off my lips. "Hey, Mouse," he said, and the way he said Mouse was so different from how Paige hurled the nickname. It was soft and deep and infinite.
"What's the plan?"
It hit me then, as I shuffled out of the way of the sea of students, that he was outside my class waiting because he knew what was coming next for me. He wanted to know the plan. Was I going or bailing? And deep down, I knew he would be right beside me no matter what I picked. My insides turned gooey, and I told myself that anyone would feel this way. But a wisp of guilt curled around the warmth. My insides were not allowed to turn gooey for Ryder. He was a goo-free zone. A second thing occurred to me. Paige had said that Ryder had always protected me and that I was somehow influencing him to do the same again. She believed I was after Ryder. I hadn't knowingly done anything. But she was right, in a way. Ryder had taken up for me when I left the class, followed me out, and he was here now, willing to do whatever I needed him to do. He was still protecting me. And that made me pathetic.
"You in or out?"
he asked, glancing up as someone lightly bumped my shoulder. His eyes narrowed. I cleared my throat. The urge to run was there because it would be the easiest thing to do. But it was short term. I knew that, and if I didn't go back to class, I would never forgive myself. Squaring my shoulders, I nodded. "I'm in." His expression was impassive, with the exception of the corner of his lips tipping up more. The dimple made an appearance, blessing the hallway.
"Let's do this, then."
"Wait." I grabbed his arm. Astonishment scuttled over his face. He wasn't used to me grabbing him. I opened my mouth, prepared to ask him about what he had told Paige. I wanted to know what he told her. I wanted to know if pity was what drove his actions. I started to speak, but people crowded us. We weren't alone, and this seemed like a private conversation. One that really couldn't be carried out in the minute or so between classes.
"Mouse?"
I forced a smile as I dropped his arm. He lifted his hand, rubbing it along his jaw. Blue smudges on his fingers this time. Did you paint more?" I asked, touching on safe ground. He shifted his ratty notebook to his other hand.
"Kind of."
I waited for more of a detailed response as we headed down the staircase. Ryder walked beside me, taking up most of the space. Students had to squeeze past him, turning sideways, but he didn't seem to notice. Or care. He didn't elaborate. So as I ran my hand down the cool metal railing, I got my tongue working. "What does kind of mean?" We rounded the landing.
"I work in the evenings, sometimes."
Surprise flickered through my system. "You work?"
"After school, a couple of times a week."
He glanced at me and then let out a low laugh.
"You look like I just told you I'm thinking about joining a crab fishing boat."
I blinked as we went down the final steps. "I just didn't know. Where do you work?"
"Not too far from where I'm staying,"
he explained. "Staying?" I repeated, thinking that was an odd way of referring to where he was living with Hector and Jaden's grandmother. He nodded.
"At a body garage down the street from Mrs. Luna's house. I do some detailing for the owner, custom paint jobs, that kind of thing."
"Wow," I murmured, remembering him mentioning a garage to Paige on Friday. He pushed open the door, holding it as I passed through under his arm. "That's pretty amazing. I mean, they must really trust you to do that." Ryder shrugged one shoulder like it wasn't a big deal, but a slight flush crawled across his cheeks. I didn't know a lot about custom paint jobs on cars, but I knew that had to be hard work with little room for error. The fact that someone trusted a teenager with that was astounding, and I wanted to ask how he got the job. But before I knew it, we were walking into class. He stayed by my side, and as I headed for the back of the class, Kiara raised her hand and wiggled her fingers. I returned the gesture. During lunch, Kiara and Joe had spent the bulk of the period talking about a new routine they were learning, much to Anna's dismay. I took my seat and immediately opened my textbook. The words were blurring when Hector dropped into the seat in front of Ryder and asked,
"How you feeling, Bibita?"
At first, I didn't get why he was asking, and I thought about him chasing down the guy called Brayden. But then I recalled the mad dash out of class Friday and Ryder's excuse. I nodded and then glanced over at Ryder. He was leaning back in his chair with his arms crossed over his chest and legs stretched out under the desk, his heavy-lidded gaze centered in my direction. The dryness in my throat increased, the response twofold. I wanted to ask a question, but the way Ryder was staring at me made me hyper-self-aware. Keeping my focus on him, I got my mouth moving. "What does Bibita mean?" Ryder blinked, and his lips slowly parted. Surprise splashed across his face. Yeah, I'd spoken in front of Hector. I felt sort of giddy. Might have only been a handful of words, but it was the first time I spoke to him. It was the first time I'd spoken to anyone in front of Ryder since we crossed paths again. He'd never been around when Jaden had. Biting down on my lip to stop from grinning, I dared a peek at Hector. His light green eyes were wide, then he smiled broadly.
"Means, baby girl."
"Oh," I whispered, feeling my cheeks heat. That was kind of nice.
"It also means something he doesn't need to be calling you,"
Ryder added, and my gaze darted back to him. Hector chuckled, and when I glanced at him, he was grinning. One arm was flung over the back of his seat.
"My bad,"
he murmured, but nothing about the way he looked suggested he felt any guilt. My lips twitched into a small grin. Ryder cocked his head to the side.
"Uh-huh."
I saw Paige enter the class just then, her long legs eating up the distance. She smiled at Hector as she rounded her desk. Paige didn't sit immediately. She placed a hand on Ryder's shoulder and bent down, her face heading for his. "Hey, babe," she said. I cut my focus to the front of the classroom. I didn't need to see them kiss to know that they did. I still didn't look when I heard a chair scratch across the floor, signaling that she was seated. A weird burning sensation lit up my insides. It tasted bitter in the back of my mouth. Hector was watching me. I smiled. The side of his lips kicked up. A few seconds later, Mr. Santos kicked off class with a clap of his hands. I tensed, my gaze swinging to the front of the classroom. Part of me expected him to make eye contact with me, nod or something that showed he was on board for Carl's plan. But he didn't. Santos cracked open his manual and passed in front of the chalkboard, going over our first speech, which we were to present in 3 weeks. An informative speech. The length would be 3 minutes. My stomach dropped to the scuffed floor. 3 minutes? The first speech would be 3 minutes long? That was forever. Even though I only had to give mine in front of Mr. Santos, my heart started slamming against my ribs. But I slowed my thoughts down. I had 3 weeks to freak out, so I needed to chill out, and I needed to pay attention right now. I managed to get my head under control so I could hastily scribble down notes. Whenever I glanced over at Ryder, he looked half asleep, definitely not taking notes. Paige was actually jotting things down. Hector was, well, he was looking at the cell phone he had perched on his thigh. I thought I saw exploding candies on the screen at one point. When the bell rang, signaling the end of class, I wanted to jump and thrust my fist into the air, Breakfast Club style. I managed not to do that, thank God, and instead sedately packed up my stuff. By the time I stood, Hector was already out of the class. Kiera was in the front of the room talking to Mr. Santos. Ryder was wrapping his long fingers over the ridge of his notebook, waiting. For me. As I swung the strap over my shoulder, the flip-flop feeling hit my tummy again, and then I realized Paige was also waiting. For Ryder. Hey. Paige stepped over, curling her hand around his free one. She leaned into him. Just like I'd done earlier, I smiled and then hightailed my butt out of there before anyone could say anything. Or at least I tried to.
Mallory.
Mr. Santos was by the door.
Can we speak for a moment?
Tension seeped into my shoulders as I followed him over to the podium. I watched him close a notebook.
I won't keep you long. I'm sure you're ready to get out of here,
he said. The dark skin crinkled around his eyes as he smiled.
I just wanted to let you know that I'm 100% behind you delivering your speeches to me.
This was the time to speak up, to tell him that I wanted to give my speech like everyone else. I said nothing. Mr. Santos kept talking.
I wanted you to also know that I understand. Public speaking is hard for anyone, and for some it's nearly impossible. I'm not going to force any of my students to get up and do something that would potentially be detrimental to them.
That was actually kind of him. But I could tell Mr. Santos that I could give the speech, that it wouldn't damage me. I could find the courage and strength inside myself to do it. I still said nothing.
Okay,
he said. I nodded. Mr. Santos's smile spread, and then he nodded.
Have a good night, Mallory.
Pivoting, I walked out of the classroom, and before I could process my conversation with Mr. Santos, I saw Ryder, sans his girlfriend. I looked around. Where's Paige?
She headed out. Couldn't wait with me,
he said, as if it was something totally cool with her, leaving him to wait for me. My mouth opened, and I started to tell him about what happened this morning, but I snapped my lips shut.
You've got to go to your locker?
He asked. Thinking about what homework I had, I shook my head. He jerked his chin toward the end of the hall.
Walk you to your car.
And that was what he did. We filed out among the thinning stream of students heading outside, their excited voices surrounding us. It wasn't until I saw the roof of my car glistening in the afternoon sunlight that Ryder spoke.
I'm glad today was uneventful.
There was no stopping my smile. It spread from ear to ear. Me? Me too. Lifting my chin, I sucked in a soft breath. Ryder stared down at me, a lopsided grin tilting his lips. In a split second, I was thrown back a decade. I'd been smaller, perched on the edge of a lumpy, narrow mattress. My stomach had been empty, twisting and churning from the hunger pains. In the middle of summer, without any air conditioning, my hair had clung to my cheeks and sweat pooled in areas it shouldn't have when you were sitting still. Ryder had been gone all day. Miss Becky, during one of her rare moments of sobriety, had taken Ryder to the mall with her, the nice, air-conditioned mall. Ryder had been Miss Becky's favorite. I remembered crying because I'd wanted to go, but she had scolded me, telling me to stop acting like a baby. I'd stayed in the airless room all day because Mr. Henry had also been home and I hadn't wanted to draw his attention. It was when Ryder came home that night that he'd brought the doll with him.
I felt bad,
he'd said, handing it over. He'd worn the same grin then as he did now. An odd and charming mixture of uncertainty and confidence. What Paige had said earlier resurfaced with a vengeance. I felt bad. She had said that Ryder had been on a guilt trip for the last 4 years, and now I could totally see that so clearly. It made sense. Ryder had suffered in that home, but in some ways, he had been treated better than me. His guilt spurred the crazy and sometimes fatalistic need to put himself in front of Mr. Henry's fists and me. My reappearance in his life had caused him to immediately step, once again, into the role of the protector. I felt... Suddenly I felt gross, like I'd been outside all day when it was muggy. I wanted to go home, strip off my clothes, burn them, and then shower for days. The weight of the pity he must have felt for me and the level of guilt he'd carried was suffocating. Stupid tears burned the back of my throat. God, this was humiliating. I stepped back, tightening my grip on the strap of my book bag. Now was the time to have this conversation. Do you feel guilty? Ryder blinked.
What?
Have you been on a guilt trip because of me? I asked, forcing the words out, even though it sort of hurt to do so. His mouth moved for a moment, forming words that weren't spoken, and then he stiffened as if someone dropped steel down his spine.
Why are you asking that?
Why won't you answer it? I returned.
I don't even know what kind of question that is, Mouse, or why you would even think that.
My brows rose. You really don't? A moment passed, and his hand tightened around his notebook. He didn't answer, and I drew in a deep breath. You told Paige about me.
Jesus.
Looking sideways, he hung his head, a muscle thrummed along his jaw.
Did she say this stuff to you, Mouse? For real?
I raised a shoulder, one he didn't see because he wasn't looking at me. He was watching a bright yellow Volkswagen Bug back out of a nearby parking spot. No, I lied. Not really, but it got me thinking about things.
When? I haven't seen you two talk at all.
I ran into her this morning. Which was sort of true and better sounding than saying she was lying in wait for me.
Mouse.
I waited.
I told her some of the stuff about what went down. Looking back, I probably shouldn't have done that, shit. I never expected you to come back, or that there'd even be a chance that she would talk to you.
I wasn't sure how to feel about that, since I didn't ever expect to see him again either. But the sense of betrayal was still there, brimming low in my stomach. Even in that moment, I realized it was irrational. Talking to Paige didn't make Ryder disloyal to me, because there was nothing to be loyal to. But that didn't change the festering hurt.
I didn't tell her everything.
I sucked in a sharp breath. She knew I didn't talk a lot.
That wasn't me. I never told her that.
He turned harder eyes on me.
Last Tuesday she was over at Hector's place and he was asking about you. I was talking to him, letting him know that you were quiet and not very talkative. She must have overheard me because I never told her that directly.
There was a pause.
Did Paige say I did?
Although it wasn't true, I shook my head. His shoulders rose with a deep breath. And then he used his fingers to brush a strand of hair that had fallen loose throughout the day back behind my ear. A sweet tingle radiated across my cheek, and then spread down my spine as he clasped his hand around the nape of my neck. I didn't know what to say, as we stared at each other. Conflicted, I was sure that even if I didn't have a problem using my voice, I'd still have no idea what to say in this situation. Ryder held my gaze for a moment, and then, using his hand along the back of my neck, he guided me toward him. His other arm swept around my back as he pulled me in for a tight hug that was warm and solid. He stepped back, his hand lingering.
Talk later.
I smiled and nodded, but even though his touch had been nice and the hug even better, I couldn't help but notice that Ryder hadn't answered my question. Chapter 14. The second week of school was pretty much like the first one. Well, kind of. I didn't flee any classes. Score. Ryder had texted me Monday night, just a small text that said good night, and he'd called me Mouse. Unlike the last time, I managed not to be an utter dork and responded with my very own good night. After Monday, Paige didn't make any surprise visits at my locker. Score number two. Talking back to her Monday seemed to have done the trick. Score number three. She pretty much ignored me in speech class while busying herself with flirting with Ryder. Monday through Thursday, I'd eaten lunch at Kiara's table, and yesterday I'd actually managed to respond to a question asked of me. Not one, but two. That was a score implosion. It had come from Anna, who had held up her broken wrist and asked, "Have you ever broken a bone, Mallory?" The spaghetti I'd been chasing around my plate had settled in my stomach as if each noodle was weighed down with lead. I'd gotten out a horse... "Yes." "Which one?" Kiara asked, her dark eyes sharp. The next two words were a little easier. "My nose." Luckily, no one asked how, probably because Joe's boyfriend told us how his younger brother had broken his nose with a wiffle bat and ball, and I figured that took some talent. What I'd said during Thursday's lunch wasn't much, an accumulation of three words. But it was three words spoken in front of an entire table full of people. As corny as it was, I was so, well, proud of myself, that I told Carl and Rosa the moment I saw them late that night, after they got home from work. They were proud, too. And relieved. There was no mistaking the quick, wordless exchange between them. I tried to not let it bother me. It wasn't like they didn't believe I could handle high school, but I knew they worried. I knew they were concerned that it would be too much. But I was doing it, and I'd lasted longer than I had in middle school. On Friday, Ryder was hanging out by the entrance to the cafeteria, hands shoved in his pockets. Apparently he decided to skip class again, and while I shouldn't promote that behavior, I was happy to see him there. We didn't get to chat much before speech or after, and he hadn't made any impromptu visits. We went through the lunch line, and he grabbed what he had the first time, pizza and milk. "Do you want to sit in here or outside?" I asked. Ryder's lips curved up at the corner as he glanced over at Kiara's table.
"Wherever you want. The world is your oyster."
I grinned at that. I felt like if we went to the table, we wouldn't have a chance to really talk. Plus, it had cooled down, as if summer had decided to make an early and hasty exit well before it was over. "Outside?" No one stopped us as we headed out to the old picnic tables. Several of them were occupied, but we found an empty one. Ryder sat beside me, not across from me like some of the other students were sitting. He was close, his thigh nearly touching mine. I liked that. It made me super aware of him as he sat my tray in front of me. I caught each breath he took as he peeled open the milk carton and placed it on my tray, and I felt every shift on the bench as he rested his left elbow on the table. I took a drink of my milk. "Do you get in trouble for skipping this class?" He shrugged, causing his arm to brush against mine. I liked that too, but I didn't like the non-committal answer. "Ryder?" Picking up his slice of pizza, he glanced over at me.
"It doesn't matter."
I frowned. "Why not?" He took a bite, and once he'd chewed, he said,
"I'll pass the class in the end, so it doesn't matter."
Ryder was smart. Even Kiara had recognized that about him. As a kid, he'd picked up things faster than anyone else, but going to class did matter. I knew I sounded like a dork thinking that, but how did he not get in trouble? So I asked as I peeled off a piece of pepperoni. He didn't answer immediately.
"Honestly, they don't care."
"Who?" I went to drop the slice of pepperoni on his plate, but he snagged it and popped it in his mouth. "The teachers?"
"Yep. I think what they expect from me is the bare minimum."
Taking a drink from his bottle of water, he grinned at me.
"Like showing up to class is enough."
I shook my head slowly. "I don't think that's true."
"The school doesn't even call Mrs. Luna anymore. Stopped that back when, hell, when they realized I was a foster kid."
He snorted, and I couldn't believe it.
"Same with Paige, and she's not even in the system. It's just because of where she lives. Hell, same with a lot of others. They see an address, and they check out."
Confused, I shook my head. "Your address?" He shook his head.
"Your address is the type that impresses them. Half this damn school? Hell no."
Stopping, he glanced at my plate.
"You eating?"
I rolled my eyes. I'm not a child. I can eat on my own. Ryder raised a brow, and there was no mistaking the slow slide that started at the top of my head and traveled downward. My cheeks pinked. Trust me, he said, his voice gruffer, deeper.
I know that. Trying to wrap my head around it, but I know that.
I gaped. Now I had no idea what to say. He eyed my pizza. Okay, then. I picked it up and took a bite. Better than sitting there staring at him like a fool.
Anyway, I'm not in trouble, he said, picking up a napkin and wiping his fingers off.
I thought about that as I took another bite and then dropped the pizza on the plate once more. You don't get in trouble because they... I peeled off another pepperoni and handed it over. His fingers brushed mine this time, warming my skin. They don't expect anything from you? Is that what you're saying? Ryder lifted his shoulder again, not responding. Holy crap. That was what he was saying. Unsettled, I glanced at my half-eaten pizza. Is that true? He glanced at me, and his lashes lowered, shielding his eyes.
I think it's kind of good that you even have to ask that.
I folded my hands in my lap. What do you mean? Finishing off his pizza, he twisted at the waist and faced me. I straightened, but there was little room between us. As close as we were, I could see the golden flecks in his eyes when his lashes lifted. A small grin was on his lips, but it seemed lacking.
You're in a good place, he said. Have been the last 4 years. You were taken in by great people, doctors. You're not living that other kind of life anymore.
But you said Mrs. Luna was good.
Worry rose.
Had he lied? He reached into the small space between us and tapped his forefinger off my hand. There were no paint smudges on it today.
She is. She's great, but... Look, it doesn't matter.
His finger traced the line of the bone, skating across my palm toward my wrist.
I'm not in trouble. I'm not going to get into trouble.
It did matter, though, because it made me think that the school didn't think Ryder was worth the trouble. Or worse yet, he didn't think that he was. And he was. I started to tell him just that, but he turned over my hand and threaded his fingers through mine. My thoughts briefly scattered. Ryder was holding my hand. He'd done that a lot when we were little, but it felt so very different now. So much so that I couldn't help but stare at his hand, at how much larger it was than mine, rougher and harder.
You're not living that other kind of life anymore.
But he was. Even though I had a feeling, he didn't have to. Knowing that I should pull my hand away, I mentally lectured myself when I didn't. His holding my hand seemed innocent, but I doubted that Paige would see it that way. Wouldn't blame her if she didn't. Ryder squeezed my hand.
What do you think about the speech we've got to do?
He asked, changing the subject.
Your topic is the three branches of the government, right?
I nodded. I told him about the deal Carl had made with Santos, and he had thought it was a great idea. Everyone probably thought it was a great idea, because no one thought I could do it anyway. Santos wouldn't let us pick our own topics for our first speech, which wasn't surprising. Ryder got different art styles in painting. I stared at our joined hands. The topic should be easy.
It will be.
He let go of my hand, his fingers trailing across my palm and leaving behind a wake of shivers.
You got this.
Seeing that I had 2 weeks to prepare for the speech, plus a few days until I had to give mine, since I didn't have to give it in front of the class, I thought I had this handled too.
You want to practice?
He asked, picking up his water. Seriously? I asked. I was planning to ask Ainsley to help me, because even giving my speech in front of Santos alone would be super difficult for me. Just thinking about it right now had my stomach churning. There had been no way I could ask Kiera. I would be way too embarrassed. Ryder nodded.
Yeah, whenever you want to get together, we can.
My heart flip-flopped.
What about work?
It's flexible. He glanced at the plate, and I knew what he was going to say before he asked it.
Yes, I intervened. I'm going to finish that.
A grin appeared, and the dimple winked.
That's my girl.
My breath caught, and I felt silly, but it did. I finished my slice of pizza and then down my milk.
Will Paige practice with us?
I asked, thinking it was a smart question considering she had to practice too. He nudged me with my arm, and I almost dropped the milk.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I looked at him sharply.
Why?
Ryder shrugged. I haven't talked to her, I said slowly, unsure of what to say since I hadn't told Ryder everything Paige had said.
I know, he replied.
You? Then it dawned on me. My eyes narrowed, disbelief and irritation flooded me.
You said something to her.
Ryder raised his brows.
You can't do that, I said, leaning back as a soft breeze caught a strand of my hair and tossed it across my face.
Ryder's eyes met mine. I'd stood up to her when she called me stupid, and I'd believed that was why she hadn't bothered me since.
I'd been wrong.
What did you say to her?
His eyes searched mine. I just told her that you were important to me, and since I never thought I'd have you back in my life, I didn't want anything or anyone messing with that. She understands.
Understands what? I whispered.
Ryder's gaze held mine again. She understands that if I have to pick between you two, it's not going to be her.
A flutter started deep in my stomach and spread into my chest because, well, that was sort of really sweet and nice and a little crazy, but still, I didn't want him doing this, fighting my battles, and I didn't want him having to pick between us.
That, I don't even know what to say. You shouldn't have to pick between us, and I don't need you sticking up for me anymore.
Really?
He murmured.
Yes, I all but yelled, earning a glance from the nearby table.
I was surprised that I even raised my voice, but I was mad, really mad. Here I was thinking that I, all by myself, had driven Paige off, and it hadn't been me.
I don't need someone's protection, I said, in a much lower voice.
He smiled, wide and bright, but I didn't care. I punched him on the arm. It's not something to smile about. I cocked my arm back and went to punch his arm again when he caught my hand.
Mouse. Ryder laughed deeply. Did you just hit me?
I ignored the question.
I don't need you standing up for me.
I trailed off, because he'd drawn my closed hand to his chest. I could feel his heart beating strongly under my hand. His eyes took on a hooded quality.
You need what, Mallory?
Talking was hard for a whole different reason.
I need to handle things by myself.
Ryder's brows knitted as he stared at me like I spoke an unfamiliar language.
Why?
Why? I sputtered. Because I need to do that for myself. You can't step in every time you think something happens. You can't always protect me.
But I want to,
he said, his voice low again, smooth. My heart was jumping around in my chest.
You can't.
One side of his lips curled up. He kept my hand against his chest.
It's kind of an old habit to break.
Those lashes lifted again and his stare pierced me.
You need to try.
Okay.
He lowered our hands to his knee. With his other hand, he brushed back a strand of my hair, tucking it behind my ear.
I can try.
I didn't know what to say as we stared at each other, and I had no idea what anyone must think if they were looking at us. I was still irked at him. Not that I didn't appreciate his concern, but I wasn't a damsel he needed to rush in and save. Or, I was trying not to be. Because the Mallory I wanted to be wasn't weak or pathetic. She wasn't the kind of girl Paige's boyfriend needed to stand up for.
I drew in a shallow breath. If I need your help, I'll ask for it, okay? He tilted his head to the side, and good Lord, it lined up our mouths almost perfectly.
Okay.
Good, I whispered. Ryder slowly lowered his hand, but he still held mine in his other for a few seconds longer. His eyes didn't leave mine even as he let go.
You're different now, Mallory.
I straightened. I am.
Good,
he whispered. Chapter 15. Paige prowled the hallway like it was her own personal runway. Confidence bled from every step. Envy surfaced. I'd never had that kind of self-assurance, didn't even know what it felt like on my skin. Her hair was pulled up in a tight ponytail, and she was with a dark-skinned girl I hadn't seen before. Gripping the strap of my bag, I walked forward, keeping my eye on her. Part of me wanted to dart to the left and edge close to the lockers, but so many of the doors were slamming shut, it would be too crowded. And it would make me a coward. I couldn't do that, especially after I told Ryder on Friday that I didn't need him sticking up for me. Now it was Monday and time to prove I meant what I said. My heart went from tap dancing to doing leaps straight out of Riverdance as I walked past her. Paige didn't say anything, but she lifted a pale, slender arm and extended a middle finger. Right in my direction. The girl with her laughed. And then, from somewhere on my other side, I heard it. A word I loathed with every fiber of my being. What a retard. A burn splashed across my cheeks. I knew the girl wasn't talking about Paige, but I didn't blink an eye. I didn't look in her direction, and I didn't give anyone the satisfaction of my attention. I kept walking, my chin tipped up, and went to my locker. Blindly, I grabbed my books and hoped they were the right ones. The last thing I wanted to do was come between Paige and Ryder, but if the middle finger was any indication, I already had, and whatever he'd said to her had not made her happy. But that wasn't even what got to me. That word, that horrible word, had burned a fist-sized hole through me by the time I joined Kiera at her lunch table. In the group home and in middle school, I'd heard that word a lot, so much that it felt like a label had been stapled on my forehead, and maybe a part of me started to believe in it. Maybe that was why I didn't talk. Even then, I knew that wasn't the right or kind word to use. It had been the first thing I'd ever said to Dr. Taft. I'd asked him if it were true, while Carl sat in on the session with me. Later that night, Carl and Rosa had sat me down and told me that it wasn't true. But even if I had developmental challenges, it wouldn't matter. I was still me, and they still loved me. It had been years since someone had called me that. Obviously, someone had been saying things. Why else would this random girl I barely recognized in the hall say that? I didn't want to think that it was Paige, because she was tied so intricately with Ryder. But who else could it be? Swallowing a sigh, I picked at the Salisbury steak as I watched Anna and Kiera check out each other's bracelets. Gold and silver bangles with charms. Maybe it was what I heard this morning. I had no idea, but I forced my tongue off the roof of my mouth. They are so pretty. Anna glanced at Joe quickly and then grinned at me, covering her surprise. They're Alex and Ani bracelets. I have a few at home, she said. They're the best. Joe extended her arm and shook her wrist. She had three on. Vilma got us addicted. I concentrated on cutting a piece of steak. Vilma? She graduated last year, Kiera explained. Used to be the captain of the squad. She's actually cheering for WVU now. Anna nodded as she picked a crinkle fry off my plate. I swear, she would hand-sell those bracelets. I inched my plate closer to her, and she snatched up a couple of the fries. The conversation quickly changed, and I started to think about speech class. I couldn't remember what Kiera was doing her informative speech on, but I wondered if she planned to practice. My lips parted, and my tongue started to wrap itself around some vowels and syllables. But could I even practice my speech in front of her? It would take forever for me to work up the nerve.